Europe.
The elections both in Belarus and Ukraine this past spring were disappointing for the European Union. In Ukraine, a pro-Russian party, sidelined during the Orange Revolution of 2004, romped back into domestic politics. In Belarus, the democratic opposition failed to unseat the ruthless autocratic regime of Alexander Lukashenko. His massive security machine, employing an estimated 1 in 10 of the population, heavily rigged the elections in his favor. But even if he hadn't manipulated the elections, most observers think he would have won anyway, albeit with a smaller margin. This begs the question, did the EU really use all its weight to influence the outcome of those elections? Or do the results in both Ukraine and Belarus demonstrate how limited the influence of the European Union is on its eastern neighbors? Deutsche Welle's Barbara Gruber has a closer look at EU-Belarusian relations.
It's going worse and worse.
Aldis Kuskis, the vice chairman of the Belarusian delegation in the European Parliament, says it's hard to believe what's going on in Belarus. First the rigged elections, then the violent crackdowns on anti-government demonstrators and the arrests of all democratic opposition leaders. Stepping up its response last week, the European Union launched a procedure to seize any foreign assets of President Alexander Lukashenko and 35 of his top aides. Kushki says this was long overdue.
This money is stolen from the people of Belarus. This money is earned trading the arms with the worst possible dictatorships in the world. Lukashenko is the top five dictator in the world, last one in Europe.
A few weeks earlier, the European Union had also introduced a visa ban, restricting the travel of leading Belarusian politicians after the rigged elections in mid-March. But Aldis Kuskis remains skeptical as to whether these measures will have any real impact. After all, Belarusian politicians rarely travel to the EU and are not known to have financial assets in the Union. And even if they do, the prolonged discussions about freezing assets has left them plenty of time to transfer funds elsewhere or cover the tracks. And yet, Kuskis says, these highly symbolic measures are a step in the right direction. He stresses, though, that the European Parliament has always been the most energetic and strongest supporter of democratic change in Belarus.
A year ago, we were talking about supporting democratic civil society. Today, we are already dealing with the opposition. I believe in the near future, we would be talking and dealing with the overthrowing the regime. This just takes time for the European Commission to change their structurized financial and other rules, and it takes time to discuss this between 25 countries in a council. As I said, European Parliament is always more united and straight and direct.
Indeed, it was the European Parliament which invited opposition leader Alexander Milinkevich to address the European Assembly in Strasbourg. He called for support from Europe and sketched out possible options for European cooperation. Along with sanctions, stipends for Belarusian students evicted from their universities after recent demonstrations are seen as an important measure. Likewise, supporting free and uncensored media is another big task that the EU has taken on.
Only informed Belarusians could take the right decisions. If they are not informed, they are not taking the right decisions. The freedom of choice is the highest possible freedom to fight for.
And while opposition parties in Belarus might not enjoy nationwide support, anti-Lukashenko rallies following the rigged elections were encouraging signs of a nascent opposition. Alexander von Lingen, the president and founder of Equipe Europa, an organization that trains new and future EU members, witnessed the demonstration in the capital Minsk.
It was interesting to see that the opposition was flying the opposition flag, white, red, white, the classical one, but a lot of Ukrainian flags, which is symbolic, one or two Russian flags, to say help us better, and a lot of European flags, even some from Georgia. So showing the flags was showing what the opposition really wants, to follow Georgia and Ukraine and to be Europe.
So has Europe offered the Belarusian opposition the solidarity and support they were calling for? Jean-François Rivalin heads an NGO promoting Belarusian and Ukrainian issues in Brussels. He argues Europe's support has only been diplomatic window dressing, issuing a few warnings, non-binding resolutions, and some cosmetic sanctions.
The fundamental problem is that the European Union refuses to give Belarus a concrete offer of EU membership to aim for. So anything the Belarusian opposition comes up with to promote EU membership falls on deaf ears. How do you expect them to campaign when the EU isn't supporting their cause? It's a scandal. Geographically speaking, this country is part of Europe. There is not one square meter that is outside the EU. I mean, really, if you don't open up the doors to the West, then obviously Belarus will look east, to Russia.
And many in Brussels say the European Union will also have to turn to Russia and remind Vladimir Putin that Russia's ties with Europe are worth more than Mr. Lukashenko's gratitude. The EU has already put Belarus on the agenda of the upcoming G8 summit in St. Petersburg. And if the EU is really serious about putting an end to Europe's last dictatorship, adds Rivalin, Europeans will have to seriously review their so-called neighborhood policy and ask themselves if warnings, non-binding resolutions and cosmetic sanctions shouldn't be followed up with substantive actions.
Deutsche Welle's Barbara Gruber reports.